Judgment Day. Judgment Day. The day of the Lord. Are you looking forward to it? Do you have any trepidation at all? Or have you got complete confidence because you trust in the promises of your King, your Lord, your Savior, your good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep? Here comes the judge. Well, let's not forget that you and I are not the judge. But we do stand or fall before the judge. And we do stand in judgment at the end of the age. What will be the verdict? What will be the pronouncement? What will be the sentence for us? Our scripture lessons for tonight on this Christ the King feast invite us to consider what it means for us to be subjects of a king, or to be servants of a master, or to be the bridesmaids of the bridegroom. What will it mean for us to be able to feast with the King and yet to fall before him on the day of judgment? Trepidation and fear, or faith in the faithfulness of our King? Here comes the judge. The Supreme Court is not the last word and doesn't have the final say when it comes to the justice of God. Amen. Thanks be to God that that is the truth, and that God's truth for us is the incarnation of God's very self, Jesus Christ, a king born in a very unkingly way, in a manger, in a bed of straw, and enthroned on a cross as he proclaims his verdict, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It is finished." Our gospel reading for tonight is a familiar text. It's Jesus' last sermon, his final teaching discourse in the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 24 and 25, a series of parables about the end time, because it is Holy Week and Passover is only a couple of days away. It's the separation story. It's the judgment scene where there are two destinations, the right hand and the left hand. The sheep end up on the right side and the goats end up on the left side, or one might even call it the wrong side. Two destinations. On the one hand, come, O blessed, blessed ones. Come, O blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God has been planning this day for you for a long time. Come, O blessed, inherit. And on the other side, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Judgment Day. Trepidation and fear, or confident hope in the promises and faithfulness of God. The Son of Man is going to come, and he will be seated on the throne. And then, like a shepherd, he will separate the sheep from the goats and those who have different appointed destinations. Judgment Day. Here comes the judge. One of my favorite stories is about a vicious Doberman Pinscher. I remember meeting one on a farm site when I was a student at Concordia College. And for some reason, those Doberman Pinschers, they've got really bad reputations. But I met a dog that was as gentle as could be. And the master of that dog told me this story. He said, years ago, there was a man who was a thief. And the thief decided that he was going to enter a house and rob it when the husband and wife were away. He crawled through a window into a darkened room, and he got inside there and came face to face with a vicious-looking Doberman Pinscher. And on the back of that Doberman Pinscher was a parrot. The thief, the burglar, froze in his tracks, not knowing if the next move would be the end of him. There was a parrot on the back of that Doberman Pinscher, and he began to squawk. "You're going to get caught! You're going to get caught!" Well, carefully, the robber, the burglar, he reached over and he saw some money and some valuables on the dresser top. And meanwhile, that Doberman Pinscher was right at his heels. Then he opened the drawers. He took some more stuff, put it into his bag. And then carefully he walked out into the hallway. And there was that parrot squawking again. "You're going to get caught! You're going to get caught!" He's walking down the hall, and the Doberman Pinscher is right on his heels. He goes into the second bedroom, looks around, finds some more valuables, finds some more money, and he's moving ever so slowly, ever so carefully. Goes into the hallway and finds the master bedroom, and there's that annoying parrot again, squawking. "You're going to get caught! You're going to get caught!" Well, he's grabbing some more of the goods in the closet. He finds a hidden stash of cash. He finds some real good valuables. And he thinks, you know, it's probably time for me to get out of here. The parrot squawks again. "You're going to get caught! You're going to get caught!" Well, he picks up a shoe, whips it at the parrot that's sitting on the back of the Doberman Pinscher. And as he throws the shoe, the parrot flutters away, and the burglar shouts out, "You dumb bird, is that all you know how to say?" At which point he said, "Sick 'em! Sick 'em!" And the Doberman Pinscher did. That, my friends, was Judgment Day. You're going to get caught. You're going to get caught. The soul that sins will die. That's the prophet Ezekiel. We've been reading through James. We've been reading through Ezekiel. As we've been reading through the Bible this year, the men in the Bible study. And one of the things that caught my attention this past week is, as we've been reading through Ezekiel, and we get an excerpt from Ezekiel 34 in tonight's first lesson, but also the book of James. And both of them are so pertinent to our gospel reading for tonight and about this end time and this judgment scene. Because what Ezekiel 18 and 33 says is that dad may have been righteous and lived a good life and had compassion for the poor and the hungry and the thirsty and the stranger and the naked and the sick and the imprisoned. But none of that counts for his son. And his son may have been wicked, doing all kinds of evil and wantonly sinning. And then the grandson comes along and he says, "The old man is behaving terribly. I don't want to be like my dad. I want to be like my grandpa." So what's going to happen on Judgment Day? Well, there was a proverb in Jeremiah 31. There was a proverb that people in exile in Babylon were quoting. "The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge." And Ezekiel gets a vision, a word from the Lord that says, no, everyone is going to be held accountable for their own sin. In other words, the goodness, the righteousness, the faith of grandpa or of your husband or of your children can't save you. Neither can their evil, wicked behavior condemn you. And then Ezekiel 33 goes on to say, so what happens if someone has been living a righteous life for 50, 60, 70 years? Good for them. But then they decide to willfully sin and do detestable things. All of those 50, 60, 70 years of goodness count for nothing. And what about the one who has been living a despicable life for 50, 60 years? Willful sin. And all of a sudden they repent. What about all those years of sin and wickedness? It's all wiped away. And then Ezekiel ends with these words. The Lord does not desire anyone to perish, but instead repent and live. We know where God's heart is. We know that God, from the foundation of the world, has prepared heaven for his people. And yet, for some reason, there are those who choose to not repent and live. Judgment Day. Inescapable. Incomprehensible. Unfathomable to us. And unavoidable. Here comes the judge. So what about that day? Well, according to our gospel for tonight, we who are Lutherans are saying, wait a minute, I thought we're saved, justified by faith alone. What's with all of this good works? Because you see what happens. The sheep and the goats are asked the same question. Why didn't you care for me? Or, you did care for me. And they both say, when, Lord? They both address the good shepherd, the king, as Lord. But neither one remembers doing the good deeds or neglecting to do the good. Maybe that's what good works is. We do it and we forget. We do it not so that we can keep score or earn our way with brownie points into heaven, but simply because, as Luther said, a good tree produces good fruit. It's in the book of James that we read this past week that we hear from James, faith without works is dead. So show me your faith apart from your works, and I by my works will show you my faith. Or as Martin Luther also said, we are saved by faith alone. But if faith is alone, without works, without good fruit, then it's not faith. It's a fake, an imposter, a pretense. So even though on the surface it appears that the sheep and the goats are being separated on the basis of their good works, it's actually on the basis of their faith, which by God's grace must produce good works. Or, for example, in one of my favorite hymns, hymn number 297, Salvation Unto Us Has Come, listen to these words. Verse 4, faith clings to Jesus' cross alone and rests in him unceasing, and by its fruits true faith is known, with love and hope increasing. For faith alone can justify, work, serve our neighbor, and supply the proof that faith is living. The proof that faith is living. Faith alone justifies, but justifying faith always keeps an open eye for Jesus. I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick, in prison, you visited me. When, Lord? I don't recall. As you did it to the least, my brothers and sisters, the redeemed, the saved, you did it for me. I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me water. I was a stranger and you didn't welcome me. No compassion. Wait a minute, Lord. We've been keeping an eye open for you. If we had known it was you, if you weren't playing all of these games of incognito, of course we would have responded. It's not our fault. Two destinations. Come, O blessed, or depart, you cursed. Come and receive the inheritance that's been prepared for you from the foundation of the world, or depart into the eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. Judgment Day. Here comes the judge. We've been looking at all these parables in Matthew 24 and 25, and there's a surprise in every single one of them. I mean, God gives all the oil that the bridesmaids need, and yet some of them decide to be defiant, and they show up with their lamps, as pretty as they may be, and they don't bring any oil. Give us some of your oil! Share! No, you can't do that if you need four batteries for a flashlight. If we give you two, then yours isn't going to work, and ours isn't going to work either. And while they're gone, what do? Well, the bridegroom comes, and everyone goes in, and they've been feasting for quite some time. I mean, this is the wedding feast. And then the bridesmaids, these Johnny-come-lately, show up, and they pound on the door, "Let us in!" And what is the word they hear from the bridegroom himself, the one who is the judge of the living and the dead? We confess him in our creed. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's going to come again in his glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. The bridegroom says, "Depart from me. I don't know you. I don't want to have anything more to do with you." Last week's parable, the master goes on a journey, but you know he's coming back. And he entrusts everything, absolutely everything, into the hands of his servants. And two of them, well, they decide to live by faith alone. They've hit the jackpot. They take a chance for heaven's sake. But one of them is afraid. And the one servant, what does he do? He buries the master's talent. 20 years worth of labor, a huge sum of money, buries it in the ground, and buried talents benefit absolutely no one. And when reckoning comes, when accounting or an audit comes, when the books are open, two of the servants get a pat on the back, a high five. Well done! Enter the joy of your master. I got more work for you. But the one for whom perception was reality, "You wicked and lazy slave. You could have at least put my money in the bank so I would have gotten some interest. You wasted your life. You wasted everything I gave you." Cast him out into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, all of these parables that Jesus tells, they're not so nice. Judgment Day. Not because God wants anyone to perish, but for some reason, some people desperately would rather not have the sovereignty or the absolute reign of Almighty God in their life now and in their eternal life to come. When, Lord? It's okay to forget the good that you've done in the name of Jesus. You don't need to keep score. But it's not okay to forget to do the good to the least of these. I heard a story on the news this morning. It happened about a month ago. I-95 by Philadelphia, kind of a dangerous stretch of road. Right off of 95, a 27-year-old by the name of Kate was driving in her car, ran out of gas. No phone, no money. And you're thinking, I know, don't judge. Who does that in the darkness? She gets out of her car thinking, what am I going to do? And here comes a homeless man named Johnny, 34 years old, up to her, and she's wondering, is this safe or not? And Johnny says, you need to get in your car, you need to lock your door. You're out of gas, I'm going to go find a gas station, I'll bring some gas back here to you. And Johnny does that. She says, I want to pay you back, but I don't have any money. I'm going to pay you back. She gets home safe and sound, and she and her boyfriend, Mark, come in the days and weeks following with gift cards and with cash and with snacks for Johnny. And in the process, they actually get to know this homeless man who was in the Marine Corps, who got out and had been traveling around the country, and then he found that there was a job opening in Philadelphia, so he went there, and then there was no job, and he had limited savings, and pretty soon he lost his vehicle, and then he lost his paperwork, and the next thing you know, one night of being homeless turned into a full year of homelessness. He was a certified paramedic. So what does Kate and her boyfriend Mark decide to do? They decided to start a GoFundMe account online. If we can get this guy like $10,000, that could be a game changer. It could help him get back on his feet, right? Well, as of yesterday, the GoFundMe fund is now $350,000. And they're helping Johnny, who's 34 years old, get back on his feet, because a lot of people don't want to rent a place to somebody that might appear to be shady. And he's got the possibility of a job in a warehouse for Amazon nearby where he was living homeless. And he wants to get recertified as a paramedic out in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. And he said, this is way too much money. I'm going to just keep a little bit of it to get me on my feet. And the rest, I'm going to give away to other people so that they get a chance. I was hungry. I was thirsty. I was naked. I was a stranger. I was sick. I was in prison. And you. You what? Judgment Day. Separation. And good news for those who are justified by faith alone. And faith is not alone, because it produces good works and fruits. In the name of Jesus, for the glory of the Father, for the sake of the neighbor in need. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has a word for you tonight. He is your King. And he says, no one can snatch you out of my hands. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.